Yo, what's going on? I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And Kyle, we had ourselves, I want to say, a fantastic weekend.
I love this weekend, honestly. This was great. This was truly one for the books, brother.
I was, it was an emotional roller coaster, too.
No, the NFL, they put us through the ringer. They did. They really, really did.
What? It was an emotional weekend. But before we get into the conference championship games that happened over the weekend, some more hires have been announced. So the Seahawks have hired Mac McDonald, excuse me. He's the youngest coach now in the league at 36, which is awesome. Baltimore, when he had their defense this past year, they had the fewest points scored on them with 16 and a half. They had the most sacks with 60 and the most takeaways with 31 takeaways this season. We obviously know the end result, but still, Mike McDonald is one of the best defensive coaches in the league right now.
No, yeah, talking about what he did, you know, off of a great Baltimore season, he's definitely going to have that team right. And Seattle defensively, you know, over the course of this season, they have a good defensive squad. That kid Witherspoon, you know, other cats too, that, you know, they big names behind him, and you know, so he'll have them right. Interested in what he'll do on the offensive end, of the ball. But you know, good hire. You know, 36. Shout out to that man. You know, youngest NFL coach. That's nothing to sneeze at, brother. Go show him why you're here now. You know.
Yeah. No, I like you said, they had a young defense. Tariq Woolen is another one. Talk about Witherspoon. Yeah. No, I'm very interested to see where he will go from here. And yeah. No, as the offense should still be clicking. You know, still has a strong running back. Pretty good, you know, quarterback and a pretty good backup quarterback as well, with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett as your receivers, as well as Jackson Smith and Jigma. So I'm very excited to see that Seattle team coming up. Another hire, Commanders hired defensive coordinator from the Cowboys, Dan Quinn, as their head coach now, which is an interesting hire right there. I thought that they would go more offense because they do have the number two pick coming into this year's draft. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, that pick is more than likely going to be a quarterback, as we know. But yeah, the overall, Dan Quinn is not. It's not like Dan Quinn is a bad coach. You know, he led that Atlanta team to the big game back in 2016, 2017. So, you know, if they could build that team up the right way, I think that Dan Quinn will be fine with the Commanders.
I agree with you. You know, like you said, Dan Quinn, you know, as an overall coach, he's not, you know, not bad, and man knows what he's doing. You know, has, you know, short little stint over in Dallas as a defensive coordinator. You know, their defense, not nothing to sneeze at. They did what they needed to do. You know, they had some hiccups there too, but you know, you know, I'm indifferent towards it, honestly. You know, I can't really, it's neither a yay nor a nay for me.
Right. Yeah.
Just gotta see, wait and see what happens. You know, maybe he'll bring some relevance to that Commanders team. You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, no, I'm very interested to see what happens down in Washington. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right, I guess. Yeah, it's like you said, it's one of those. It's,
do it.
Yeah, it's neutral. It's all right, word. If you do good, great. If not, all right. Well, we didn't expect much anyway.
Great for my New York Giants, you know, great.
Yeah, yeah. But let's go on ahead. Let's get to what happened over the weekend with these conference championships games. So the first one was Kansas City and Baltimore. Now, Kansas City was able to escape 17-10, but Baltimore just didn't look like they were up to the task, man.
Not at all. Not at all. They look frightened. They look like, you know, they haven't been there before. Immaturity things, the things that should have been done, you know, Lamar running the ball when he needed to run, not trying to be so much of a passer and trying to like prove people wrong, trying to outdo Patrick Mahomes, stick to what you know. Yeah. And then that's that way that, you know, that throwing game opens up a lot more.
Yeah, man. Me too, man. I expected a lot more. You know, we obviously picked Baltimore to win, but we obviously knew not to count out Kansas City because of Patrick Mahomes, and they showed who they were. And big shout outs to Coach Steve's Spagnuolo, because man, he was out there. He had a four. He had one formation where he only had one linebacker out there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had five, or then he had like four or five defensive linemen. He had one linebacker. Then he had five DBs, and basically all he did was match the speed of Baltimore. And then Lamar just sat there patting the ball.
It can in Kansas City, like defensively all year, we were saying has the top one of the top defenses in the league, you know, and they showed that they could keep up with that Baltimore receiving corps and that they could keep up with, you know, Lamar, and just, you know, a little bit of just, you know, shade I'm gonna throw on Lamar's way a little bit because it's deserving. Like, you know, you can't sit there and hold the ball for that long, can't try and make a play. The play is not made, get your yardage and just go. Just go. You gotta go win this game. You gotta, you know, you get behind early, getting down, you know, Chiefs come, I mean, sorry, you know, Kansas City, they come down and within the first play of the game, score. Second play. And then second series, score again. It's like,
Yeah, it was. I don't know, because they also like Lamar himself didn't do the things that he should have done. Like, it was a 3rd and 1 that he could have just simply ran for. Like, you know, he could have just had everyone. They could have just had everyone fly out for go routes, and then after that, he just runs out the middle or finds a, you know, whatever hole that he could find to go through the trenches. You know, it was that. It was the fact that he didn't get Odell Beckham involved in the game until late in the fourth. Isaiah Likely didn't get involved until late in the fourth. I'm also blaming the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. Why in the world did you only run the ball a total of six times?
Six times.
Six times. And one of those runs, Gus Edwards had like a 15-yard run.
Some of those holes were wide open.
Easily. Shoot, there's a picture circulating of Lamar sitting there patting with the ball, and there was a lane. You could drop an atomic bomb in there. That's how big the lane was. Like, he didn't, you wouldn't have to maneuver anything. Any one of us, including you, people that are watching, y'all could walk through it too. Y'all could have walked right through that lane as if y'all was taking a walk through
Not
Central
been
Park.
touched.
Not at all. And then, oh man, like the defense did what they could. You know, they held down as much as they could, you know, especially in the second half, they tightened up a lot. But the offense, man, they just, it was just so
After
horrible to see.
I'm going to bring this up, we were talking about it earlier. After averaging close to 30 points a game in the regular season, 28 points per game, you guys put up 10. When it
Yeah.
mattered the absolute most, and you guys look like a shell of yourself.
And sat there trying to play Kansas City's game.
Exactly.
That didn't make any sense to me. Like, strip sacks, interceptions, you know, the flowers
Stoppers.
with
Stop.
the fumble at the end zone, and then, you know, also getting the taunting call. That was bad. Oh, another thing, their deep now the defense, they did play well, but also they were very out of character.
You know,
They were
I'm attributing that a lot to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, though.
Yeah, no, because Baltimore was so used to being the bully that when they finally found their match, and Kansas City is not, they're not bullies or anything, but they're not scared of anybody.
No, not at all. They
They
they've shown
they've
that they've
been
been
here,
here before.
exactly. They've been here, done that team already.
They've
You
seen
can
it
almost
all.
exactly, or make an argument that Philadelphia team last season had a great strong defense. You could argue that they were basically almost the same, maybe even a little better than this year's Baltimore defense. But yeah, no, that it was a lot of inexperiences, a lot of immaturity going on with that Baltimore team. You could also tell that the fact that they weren't winning, the fact that they weren't doing the things that they should have done was frustrating them. And then in turn, they were taking their frustrations out on Baltimore. Kyle Van Noy with a headbutt on Travis Kelce, that's a 15-yarder. The next play, they clothesline Patrick Mahomes, another 15-yarder. And then what's it called at the end of the game? Roquan Smith trying to draw on all sides. Instead, he gets an unnecessary roughness. Why are you running through the dude? Just touch his head.
Like,
And it was clearly unnecessary. Like
oh,
everyone
it was
knows
the way he
everyone.
ran through, dude, and
It,
dude thrown
exactly.
him back like a bowling ball.
He could have literally. All he needed to do was touch him. He could have just like simply just like ran into him by accident or whatever. Like he could have made it look by accident. But no, what does he do? He fully puts his hands on him and pushes him back. That was frustrating to watch because you feel like we all seen so much more that they all could have done. But I don't know who it is. I don't know if it was Lamar not wanting to run the ball, the offense coordinator not wanting to run the ball with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill back there. Not drawing a place for someone like Odell Beckham, who's been here before, who was on his way to an MVP in that big game just a couple of years ago. And I understand, you got two tight ends back in both Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, but they couldn't figure out that two tight end set because mainly because they just haven't played out of that. So
They haven't played
they,
out
you
of it.
know,
But
yeah,
again, so
when
then if they knew that though, why you created weaknesses where weaknesses didn't need to be created?
No, they didn't play to their strengths. Plain and simple, they didn't play to their strengths. And Kansas City morphed into basically, a team where it's like, all right, we'll just dictate the whole thing. Like Steve Spagnuolo literally dictated their game. Kansas City moves on, going to the big game as they will face San Fran. San Fran gets out of there against Detroit after being down 24-7. McCaffrey, like I said, they gonna have to ride out with McCaffrey, and they did. 20 carries, 90 yards, two TDs, and four receptions for 42 yards through the air. So, they you know what I mean? They did exactly what they had to do with C-Mac.
Talking about a team that absolutely played to their strengths, being down 17 points.
They didn't unravel. They didn't panic. No, nothing about them panic. They were like, we've seen this movie before. It was as if they were like, oh yeah, we've done this before. Let's just do it again.
Exactly. Shout out Brock Purdy, man. He
Yo, dude's a gamer. He's a gamer. He's got a lot. He got a lot of respect for me, especially it wasn't just the his throws, especially in the second half, but it was the running.
the running, how he was able to use his legs to find the open field. Yes. Yeah. He showed that like he's not just a game manager, that he can be a actual playmaking quarterback.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and it just looked so good. Man, what's it called? When he would just sit there, he didn't see anybody that he wanted. All right, now it's time to get up out of there. He wasn't in that run down close to the end zone. He was sitting there putting his hat on people. I was like, all right, I see you. I was like, I see you. That's what I'm talking about right there. But as much as we could give the congrats to San Fran, we also have to look at Detroit.
Question marks, nothing but question marks around Detroit, man.
Coach Dan Campbell, they had that 24-10 lead, and it did not convert on that 4th and 2. So in turn, what happens? San Fran goes down for a touchdown. Then after that, they get the kickoff on the first play for Detroit, fumble, another touchdown. Now we're tied up. Now you lost all momentum because
It was
why? On
gone.
that
It was
on
gone.
that fourth on that 4th and 2, with 7:03 left in the third, instead of kicking a field goal, you decide to go for it. Now that's your identity. That's who you are. Can't blame you for that. But in the magnitude of this game, with that team over there, with those amount of playmakers, all you have to do is give them one reason. Just give them one. You know what I mean? That four and out right there was
Killed them.
way more. It
Killed
was
them.
way more than enough. You could sense it. I was sitting next to my dad, and I'm like, and I'm saying, I'm like, you don't go for it. He was like, no, you just take the three, because he was like, that 27 looking real good right now after they scored. And
That
I was like,
27 looks different than that
it
24.
looks,
It does.
oh yeah, we're talking about something way different because at the end of the game, they would have been tied up. instead of San Fran being up, what was that, 34-31, it would have been basically what, 34-34. But because of that, because you decided not to go for a field goal, and it wasn't just that one, it was also another fourth down that they didn't convert on too. The one trying to get it to, I think it was Amon-Ra on that one. But yeah, man, because in the first half, Detroit came out swinging.
It's they look like a team that was like they were ready to take the spotlight.
Swinging.
They really looked
What?
like a team that was ready to take the spotlight, and
That.
they slowly died off, and San Fran just came and again, momentum shift.
Yeah, no, momentum is a real thing, everybody. If you've never been out on the field or out on the basketball court, momentum is a real thing. And when it shifts, you feel it. And trust me, when you're on the wrong side of it, it is like the worst thing in the world.
Because
It
there's
feels
absolutely nothing you can
this.
do about it.
No, not at all. Not at all. When another team is just on, they're just on. But shout outs to that Detroit team. They look good. Hopefully that they do make it back again. I know Coach Dan Campbell was like, you know, there's a chance that, you know, we don't make it back, which is true because,
Very true.
yeah, because, you know, teams are poaching, you know, like Baltimore. Baltimore is a team that I don't have much faith in them really making it back at least next year because they lost the defense coordinator. Like that's a huge thing, you know, and now you have people to resign. So, and those guys might not resign because they might not have their defensive coordinator there,
Coordinated with them.
or because of how the season had ended. You know, it ended in such a, you know, ugly fashion. So yeah, no, but shout outs to both Detroit, Baltimore. They gave it their all this season. They did. They had great seasons, but they just ran into two juggernauts that know that just, you know, they've been there already.
Exactly.
But not gonna make game picks this weekend. We'll save that for next weekend because obviously next weekend is when the big game is in Vegas. But you know, we were spoiled. We were spoiled on for as a total for the playoffs. We were very spoiled, I feel like.
Definitely, definitely. I'm happy with the way, you know, this playoffs it turned out.
Yeah,
I won't
I am
say
too.
it was good. It was really, really, really good. A lot of twists and turns, momentum things and emotional things that just kept going back and forth, back and forth.
Correct.
Yeah, so like you said, though, shout out to Kansas City, shout out to San Fran. They did what they were supposed to do and did what they needed to do.
But yeah, no, but still got some more time, so let's get over to the NBA.
Sure.
So Joel Embiid has a torn meniscus, my boy. So it looks like that MVP trophy is out the window now.
Such a shame. Such a shame. Talk about a dude who was deserving of it damn near that close.
But man, the 76ers should be able to hold off a little bit without him. You know, obviously his timetable is to be determined. So no, you don't think so? I
Nah.
mean, I don't think that they won't be where they are now. I feel like the Knicks will clearly take over that number three spot.
It's
I feel like
important that
again.
they cannot go into the play-in tournament.
Oh yeah, no, they
They
can't, no.
can't. No.
Especially with, because what, we're in February right now. How long does a torn meniscus really take? Depending on, you know, with Joel, it's probably a little different because of Joel.
And you know he's gonna have to take. He's really gonna have to take his time to come back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Cam.
I don't know either because like it.
I would. I'm gonna say at 3 months.
Yeah, they're saying like 4 to 12 weeks. 4 to 12 weeks, yeah.
What? Nah.
That's a well, think about it. 12 weeks is what? The 12 weeks is around 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah,
I
so I
will go
guess.
all 12 weeks. I'm sorry. That's bad.
I mean, obviously, I wouldn't say for him to just do four. That'd be insane.
No, this is not like A-Rod trying to come back in the same season, okay? Like, no. Oh.
It's funny because I know on that the doctors were like, "No, you're not coming back out here."
Like, come on, bro. No.
But yeah, no, a torn meniscus, that's a big thing right there. He was already playing with a swollen knee, which was obviously a bad thing, which is obviously a lot of telling signs right there. Also, they got fined. The 76ers got fined because of how they handled the whole his whole injury during the game before the game against Denver. So they got fined like $70,000, $75,000 or something like that. But yeah, no, that's a big blow to the Sixers, especially he was playing extremely well.
Lights out. He was playing
Extremely
lights
well.
out.
We literally just talked about him scoring 70. Like literally, what was that, last week, the week before, whatever.
But might have
So
week before.
yeah. So I hope for him, obviously, a speedy recovery. The game is so much better with him in it than with him out of it, clearly.
Absolutely.
Randle will be out for 2 to 3 weeks with a dislocated shoulder, which is big for the Knicks. But Jalen Brunson has showed us these past couple games that he will hold this team down.
He shows that he could put this team on his back and carry. He showed that last season. He's showing it again this season, with or without Julius. Like, he's capable of doing it.
And OG
I'm worried.
and I'm sorry, OG and Anobi in and out of the lineup too, but keep going.
Now, I was just saying, Julius Randle, a little less worried about if they could keep OG. The fact that OG is a little bit injured now too, now it's just a little bit cause of concern, because now you don't got, your defensive presence, on
Correct.
that court.
Correct, correct. But yeah, no, they've been holding their own lately. So
They
that
eight in a row though.
yeah, no, they
Eight
shoot,
in a
they doing
row.
their thing. As long as if they can go into the All-Star break with
Hot.
the running with yeah, with a hot winning record, and then that gives Randle like an extra week to basically recover.
Yeah.
And then after the All-Star break, they just hit the ground running. They could mess around and start rivaling Celtics for that number one spot.
Imagine if the Knicks get the number one spot in the East. Oh
I
my.
don't know how, but I'm trying to get a ticket. I don't know how, but I'm getting a ticket to one of them games, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I'm finessing. I'm doing something. We got too much family in New York for us not to figure that out.
Oh no. On God. On God, brother.
But speaking of the Knicks, let's go to the All Stars real quick. Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle both named All Star reserves, even though Julius Randle should have been a starter, but that's neither here nor there. Regardless, he is an All Star, and let's just give everybody who the All Stars will be for this season. So on the East, the stars will be Giannis, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum. For the reserves, they have Bam Adebayo, Paolo Banchero, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, and Julius Randle. For the West, they have Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic. And for the reserves, they have Devin Booker, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Hey, that's a good West squad though. It's a good West
Yeah.
squad. I'm
Yeah.
not mad at, I'm not really, I'm not mad at it. I'm
Yeah,
not.
no, I don't have any crazy snubs that I'm looking at. I feel like everybody on both sides are deserving of an all-star spot. Obviously with the injuries with Joel Embiid and Julius Randle, two people will fill in for the East on that side. But yeah, no, I feel like both sides, I feel like they got it right, in my opinion.
It's nothing like too, out of left field, this list. Everybody that's, whether it be starters or reserves, everybody that's on this list has been balling for the first half of this season.
Correct.
And well deserving of it. Well deserving. I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
Yeah, no.
I feel like
Not at.
sometimes you could look at it and have like question mark, really? This person?
Yeah,
But not this
I feel
one.
like
Not this one. The fans might be right this time.
we got it. I feel like we were like that last year because I think what was it, Jalen Brunson didn't get in. Jalen Brunson clearly had a great season last year, but obviously this year he has a better season. And he's shoot every top tier point guard that he's seen, he's given them business. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. He going at them. He's going at them.
Heck yeah. And he shoot, man, it's looking really good for them Knicks right now, boy. Let me tell you, I'm on that hype train. I love it.
Is it time to call it out, Cam? Should I do it? Should I
Do
do
it. Do it.
it? Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies.
Orange and blue skies, just the way we
Now,
like
don't
it,
go
baby.
making it cloudy at the end of the season, guys. All right?
Yeah, we'll leave
Peace.
that up to coach. We'll leave that up to Coach Tibbs and make sure that they don't play these dudes a little too much.
Facts.
Oh, another thing that happened. We had ourselves a trade. So the Grizzlies are trading Steven Adams to the Rockets, and the Grizzlies will be getting Victor Oladipo, two 2024 second round picks, and a 2025 second round pick.
Good trade. Good trade. I'm gonna miss Steven Adams on that squad. He's a valuable voice, I think, in that locker room.
Veteran voice.
Victor Oladipo coming over. Not mad about it. It's also like indifferent towards it. We'll see how it works out on the court.
Yeah, very,
If he
very guard heavy.
stay healthy. Yeah, very guard heavy.
Very
Very,
guard heavy
very
on that
guard
team.
heavy. You know, you got Marcus Smart, you got D Rose, you got Ja. You got now you got Victor Oladipo,
You got Desmond
Desmond
Bane.
Bane.
You got Kennard, Luke
Luke
Kennard there
Kennard too,
too.
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a very heavy guard lineup right there. But yeah, no, it's if Vic can stay healthy, I guess it's basically, I guess, for next year, right? Vic stays healthy. Ja comes back, on a mission. I think that team obviously will be a force to be reckoned with, obviously with Ja.
Yeah. Ja
But
gotta be there though. He has to be there.
no, he has no choice.
None whatsoever.
But yeah, shoot, we're coming up to the end of our road on this podcast of ours today. Got in some pretty good stuff. Let's talk about conference championships, and get some a tad bit of a little preview to the big game in Vegas, and got in some NBA work. Basically, after for all those who don't know, basically after the big game next weekend, we're basically going to be hitting the ground running with college basketball. College basketball, if you have not been paying attention, let me tell you something. There's a lot going on.
It's
A
rumbling.
little,
It's rumbling.
it's a lot going on. I can tell you right now, I don't have a clear-cut winner on who could possibly win the whole thing. Even for conferences, like the Big East is like low key wide open still, but UConn is still head up at the top. Who else is the Big 12? I don't know who's winning that. Kansas has been falling, here and there. Some wins, some losses. Also got Houston in that conference now, which is crazy. But Houston is tough though. Houston is still tough. Who else? Who else? The Big Ten. Shoot, Purdue looking like they might take over that whole thing, but we still got teams like Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska. They all putting their head in
Solid
the
team
ring right
too,
now.
yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of solid teams in there. But this weekend is gonna be great. They have some pretty good matchups. The biggest one, obviously, Duke, North Carolina, six
Yeah,
o'clock one.
that's
That's the
always
one
a big one.
everybody. That's always the one. That's the one everybody's gonna go see. Another one, Texas and Kentucky, they play at 8:30, if I'm not mistaken. And Kansas and Houston play each other this weekend, this Saturday too. So yeah, no, if you're looking for some college basketball games to look at, I'd give you those are my top three right there that I will be for sure paying attention to. But other than that, y'all know the deal. I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Happy that you guys sat here with us and everything. Yeah, no, we'll be back in the studio soon. No worries, no worries. But till then, later.
Deuce.